my heart posture from day one has always been to give just as much, if not more, that I receive, right? Yep. And so if that's my heart posture, I could have $1 billion, I could have $100 billion, $1 trillion. The number doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What matters is, I just had a conversation with somebody about this, and she was coming on as a client, and mm-hmm. she had some hesitancy
yeah.
about coming on because she was concerned by borrowing money and then re-leveraging money and, you know, building wealth.
Was she already debt-free?
No. Isn't that interesting? But she felt like, she felt as if...
Is this awkward?
No, you're good.
The
pillow is kind of weird, but... Golly. Holy cow. But yeah, no, as far as like debt is concerned and wealth and money is concerned, right? Like it is part of society. It's always been part of society. Even go back to when Jesus walked in Jerusalem, it, mm-hmm. you know, there was taxes, there was debt, there was people, there was rich and there was poor, right? So I think a lot of people naturally think like money is a sin, and that is not anywhere in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I'm no pastor or anything like that. I just love Jesus, but I have done a good amount of due diligence on this. And what I found is, you know, a lot of people are really talking about Proverbs 22 when it talks about people being, kind of a slave to the lender, right? And that the becoming a slave of debt is, you know, something that is potentially looked upon as sinful or just not good to do as a Christian. And I think you got to really get to the heart of that, right? So if you are leveraging yourself out completely, mm-hmm. what does it take away? It takes away the ability to give mm-hmm. and to be a blessing to others,
right?
So I think that a lot of times when we talk about biblical things, it's always a heart issue.
Yeah.
It's not really a tangible world issue as much as we want to make it,
right?
So the reality is money doesn't cause sin in itself, mm-hmm. right? Money doesn't cause purity in itself.
Yep.
What it does is is going to exemplify. It is going to... it's going to be like put a megaphone in front of whatever the aroma of your heart is.
Yep.
That's it. So if the aroma of your heart is to be greedy, to take people's money, to be a hoarder, to be all these things,
yep.
then money is going to make that worse, mm-hmm. right? Vice versa. If you are somebody who your heart, I always call it the aroma of your heart, but your heart posture, whatever you want to call it, is to be blessed so you can be a blessing. Mm-hmm. If you want to see the people around you win even more than you're able to win, mm-hmm. If that's truly a heart thing, then when you come into money, you're going to be able to do those types of things. And that's going to be personified as well. Yep. And it's going to come out in your life, right? And so that to me is going to be the key is where's the heart at? Why do you want to make money?
Right.
Right. Like, yeah, we can all have nice things, right? Like heard it said that, you know, when poor people, we'll just talk about socioeconomic scale. When poor people come into money,
yeah,
they buy things.
Right.
Okay. When middle class comes into money, they buy liabilities, mm-hmm. cars,
yep.
Escalade.
Yep.
And then they want to show off.
Uh-huh.
When rich people get money, they buy more income.
Right.
So my question is like, let's say, you know, if you're somebody who wants to be rich, whatever that means, right? Mm-hmm. Then if that's the case, number one, you need to be buying income. But number two, if you're buying that income, why are you buying it? Mm-hmm. Are you buying it to go buy, you know, more cars? Or are you buying it so that way you can still live an enjoyable life, but also help the other people out that need the help?
Yeah.
Be a blessing to others because you're blessed. Your cup is overflowing, so therefore give it to somebody.
Right.
You know, so I think that, and I also think God honors that, right? I think that's just the reality. Mm-hmm. The more your heart posture is positioned there, it's good. And so if that's the case, I have a hard time believing, right? Like imagine me and you, we get to the gates of heaven, right? And you know, my heart posture from day one has always been to give just as much, if not more, that I receive, right? Yeah. And so if that's my heart posture, I could have $1 billion, I could have $100 billion, $1 trillion. The number doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What matters is how did I use that resource?
Right.
that's ultimately, I think, what God is going to be looking at.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be looking at your tax returns and be like, oh, you 1%er. Sorry, you got to get in the back of the line.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I know that we're talking about faith, and this is kind of going down a different rabbit hole, which I tend to do, is
squirrel.
Socialism. Listen, I mean, kind of to one thing that made me think of this is you're talking about what poor people do, middle class do versus what the rich do. If you took all the money in the world mm-hmm. and evenly distributed amongst everyone in the world, within a short period of time, it's going to be back in the same hands it was before, right? It's about being a good steward of resources. And I feel like God blesses you if you're a good steward of it, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember early on, in my career, I was not a good steward of money. I was doing the opposite of what you're talking about. I wasn't so much coveting money, but I was buying things and just wasn't a good steward of it. So what did he do? He took it away from me. All of it, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like now that I'm being a decent steward, I feel like I can always grow and get better. But I'm a decent steward of my money. He continues to bless me with more resources. And, you know, I look back at that time, we were going to a very small community church. And the church was struggling, you know, with giving. And this was post-2008 mortgage meltdown, recession. A lot of people were struggling financially. So the church was struggling financially.
Yeah.
And, when it came to mission trips, you know, a lot of that got cut, you know, VBS, stuff like that got cut. And I look now, because that church is somewhat in the same position with a lot of the same members. It's changed a little bit. And we moved on to a different church. But I look back now and say, okay, well, if I became a member of that church again, just because of what I do financially, how much does it bless that church if Michael were to join, or another Michael were to join, or a third Michael were to join? What does that do to the church? Now, mission trips come back, VBS comes back, all this stuff that the church does so well that I think government does way better, they would be able to do
mm-hmm.
because of our tithings, right? Now, look at the church that we're in now. Oh, my goodness. Did you know that there are more people in slavery today than during what we thought was the European-American slave trade?
I believe that. Human trafficking is, I mean,
I was blown away. I had no ideas, you know, especially in Asia and in India and places like that. So our church has lots of resources. And it's not a mega church. It's kind of in the middle. I don't like the mega churches because I feel like we get gobbled up in it and we don't really have the sense of community in it. I feel like this one is a good middle ground, but they have plenty of resources. We're in Williamson County, mm-hmm. Tennessee, one of the wealthiest counties in the entire country, if not the world. So they've got tons of resources. Well, what are they talking about every single week is these case studies and testimonials where they're freeing people from slavery. Mm-hmm. They're talking about their past life versus their current life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, not only is that a blessing, I was just blown away with the atrocity that people are still in slavery.
Right.
I thought that was 200 years ago. And here we are in 2022 dealing with more people in slavery than it was during the American European slave trade. But, you know, some people get caught up in this belief that, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth, right? Sometimes I feel like they lean on that as a crutch and it really to describe the position that they're in. This is really why. It's more of an excuse. Like, well, this is why we are the way we're financially, because we're just better Christians. Mm-hmm. And the meek shall inherit the earth. What do you got to say to that?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of meek has nothing to do with, you know, socioeconomic situations, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't say the poor are going to inherit,
right.
You know, it's the meek is again, it's a heart posture.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, I think about, okay, let's use a perfect example. Okay. Jesus, right. He goes into the temple,
mm-hmm.
right. And there's they're collecting taxes,
mm-hmm.
right. What does he do?
Flips the tables.
Flips the tables. He's pissed off.
Yeah.
Right. That's not like a meek move, right.
Right.
Like in general, that wasn't a meek move, but that was justice because he's both.
Right.
Right. And so what it came down to was, it wasn't the fact that they were collecting taxes. That's mm-hmm. not why he flipped the table. There's a lot of people that say like Jesus was a socialist. I don't necessarily get down with that. But
mm-hmm.
he came in there because the heart posture of those people,
yeah,
it was disrespectful, right,
mm-hmm.
of the temple,
right.
Because that wasn't the time or place.
Right.
To me, the perfect situation of meek is somebody who is, let's say, wealthy,
mm-hmm.
whatever that number is. For some people, wealthy might be $100,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
might be a net worth of $200,000. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Some people, wealthy might not be unless you're a billionaire,
right?
Like you talk to Elon Musk, what does he think wealthy is?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's all relative. Right. But let's just say you're a wealthy individual. At the end of the day, you know, like being wealthy in and of itself is not going to create a meekness or a lack of meekness, mm-hmm. right? But I think it's the coolest thing when you have somebody who's legitimately loaded.
Yeah.
And they have the ability to do whatever they want mm-hmm. and act however they want, yet they choose to be meek.